And now we're starting Daf Mem. Masnisin Dvarik Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Mishnah is not Rav Shimon Gamliel. This Nina on Rav Shimon Gamliel. Leimer Leila Mishki Chasik Shomai Sasheni Upinyanai. That is to say, like this. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that even before I give Dov the money, my Mishicha of the Tvua from his Rishus, he Pidyono. That's already, it's typhus the money. You know what I'm saying? It's a hard concept to understand because how is it typhus the money if I haven't specified the coins? But that's basically what he's saying. Mishichoso, when I do a mishicho on that tvua, he pidyono, it immediately becomes padoi, and the kedushas ma'aseh sheni goes on to whatever two coins, I guess through brayer or something, whatever two coins or one coin that I end up giving you, that I owe you, it's automatic. So there's no such thing as, it's not possible to have, the case of our Mishnah is physically impossible. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where I did a Mashiach of the Tvua, and in the interim, before I give him the money, the price changes. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's never Shayach. As soon as I do the Mashiach, it automatically becomes Ice Ma'aseh Sheni. In other words, he ties together the Chayshe Mishpat and the Pinyan into one act. The way I'm explaining it, some people have trouble with this, right? Others, if you look at the third paragraph in 3, others deem it implausible that the deconsecration can take effect before the money is designated, right? Rather, they explain the Shem Gamliel to mean that the redemption price is determined at the price of at the time of the Mashiach, not that it actually takes effect. In other words, if we made up that I'm going to pay you 2, then that's what I pay you. It doesn't matter that it goes down in price or goes up in price. It makes no difference. We made up 2, I give you 2. I made up 1, I give you 1. The case of the Mishnah is not, again, not negay according to his Shita. The only difference is how do you understand it? Is it just the price, or does he hold as actually a transference of Kedusha? Okay, that's what it says. Now, so we have a Tana that's not like our Mishnah. Very good. Let's go on over here. What I told you before is the Gemara. That's what the Gemara is dealing with right now. The Gemara is talking about when the second Selah that I have to use, right, that I can keep for myself. So Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Elazar, anyway, see from Chaimish al ha-Selah Shniya, that you don't have to add a 5th to the second Selah. Rabbi Zeira was looking at him. He's looking at him funny. He says, what the heck is that? Why wouldn't you have to do that, right? Just like you were, Rav Dov, you don't understand what I was saying. On Malay, he says, Mat Mastakovi, what are you staring at me? Afrab Hila Lamaydi Bai. Even Rav Hila says, Kidyam Rav Yerkan, Rav Yerkan says, that the reason you don't have to add a 5th is according to what Rav Yerkan made a rule. Komai Sheni She'eno Hu Ufidyono Shal Mishalo. We had this already once before. Then whenever my Sheni, it's not that the coin and the pinion is from my own, then ain't a Moshech Chaimish. You don't have to add a 5th. So therefore, over here, you don't have that because the Ma'aseh Sheni was not mine, right? It went to you. So that's in number 7. He goes a little, explains it a little more. It was explained above, right? Briefly, he teaches that the requirement to add a 5th pertains only when the redemption is done entirely by the owner who uses his own money to redeem his own produce. Right? Regarding our case, it means although the buyer already owns the produce from the time of the Mashiach, and additionally he's not giving the second seller as payment, this is considered a redemption of the seller's produce. For since the buyer became committed to redeem this Ma'aseh Sheni produce under the terms of the purchase, which was intended to function also as a redemption, when the redemption is completed, it is viewed as a consummation of the purchase, not as a redemption of his own produce. That's the pshat. Okay? So what I told you before is the Gemara, I got mixed up, I thought it was in the Mefarshim. That's exactly what the Gemara says. You do not have to add the 5th for the reason we said. Hapoyda ma'aseh sheni v'lo kara, Rabbi Yehuda says, Sarach l'farish, it's not efficient, you have to say specifically. So the Gemara clarifies Rabbi Yehuda's shita. What does it mean you have to be mifarish? You have to say, this is your get, this is your kedushin for hocha, and in the case of the Maaser Sheni, he has to say, ze pidyon Maaser Sheni. He has to speak out those words. Rabbi Zeira Chia Barbun Abba Bar Taklifa B'Shem Rav Hoshea. My pligin. When do they disagree? Keshehif Ligu Daiton Le'inyonos Acherim. We were talking about kedushin, and then we changed the topic. And we were talking about some other stuff. That's when we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, whether that's good enough, that they're giving it stam after that, when we start talking about something else, whether it's good. Avol, if we would never stop talking about the marriage or get the arrangements, get who, then everybody will agree it's a get, even if I don't speak out anything. So they speak about, they have the following question. They said if they in the second column on 48.2, it says if they shifted it to another topic, how can Rabbi Yossi say it's valid? Why should we assume that the woman understands that this is her getter kedushin? The answer is, when we say their attention was diverted, we mean really they no longer discussing the direct topic of their becoming divorced or married. They digress to a related subject, such as the bride's dowry. Okay. So it's not in the Maaser Kedushin itself, but it's still in Yonim that have to do with the relationship. Since they were previously discussing the fact they will be divorced or married, then that's good enough. But you're right. If they would start talking about the stock market, then this Gemara would not be true. That's what it says over here. Now we're on Mem of the base. Reb Chagi Baal Kumi Reb Yossi, Rebbe Kereb Yossi, Reb Nosson Kereb Yehuda. Now we're going to introduce two new Tanoim that we didn't know about, and then we're going to see how they fit in with the machlokas we just mentioned. Let's see. The Tina Tamon. E Ashishitakaba law. If the woman tells the Shliach,
switches from Shliach Kabbalah to the Halacha.
Right. Right. So the woman went ahead and made it. I want to make sure this is clear. If the woman first makes the Shliach Kabbalah and sends the Shliach Kabbalah to the husband. Again, Shliach Kabbalah means that the second that the husband gives the Shliach the get, it's immediately Megureshes in the time the Shliach receives the get. That's a Kabbalah. Shliach Halacha means that he has to deliver the get to the woman's hands to be a good get. Now, if she made a Shliach Kabbalah and the husband, when he gives the get to the Shliach, says, no, Iyashishat Kabbalah, I don't want you to be a Shliach Kabbalah. Right? Ella, Hoylech V'Tenla, bring it to her on my behalf, means I'm switching him to be my Shliach. And what's Lahaksa Yaksas, and if I want to change my mind after you leave the room, and I want to change my mind, I can still change my mind because it isn't a get until he delivers it to her, right? That's the, is that all you have to know for now? Is there anything else here? Yeah, I think that's it. Masisa de Rebbe, this Mishnah, which teaches in order to retain the right to retract, the husband must explicitly tell the agent. In other words, those are the key words that we're focusing on. E-F-shi shetekava law. Does the husband have to speak out those words? That's a very clear statement. I don't want Shliach Kabbalah. Well, what do I want? I want you to take it to her. But if I left out those words, E-F-Shi-Shet-Kabbalah, and all I said was, Hoylech-La, it would have been good immediately. That is the Rebbe. That's Rebbe. So our Mishnah, right? Okay, let's see in a second. We'll see how we match it up. The Tony, on Mahis Kabbali Giti, if she said, Kabbalah. The Shliach comes and says, you know, your wife said, I should be Kabbalah get. And he says, Holichu law, Tnehu law, Zachay law, Hiskabbalah. He uses any of these languages, including especially to pay attention to is the language of Holichu law, right? Which is a Lashon Halacha. in Rotzel Haxel Yaxer, it's too bad he can't be Chayzer. Because since he didn't speak out, E-F-Shi, so Mimela, it remains good, even though he used the language of Halichula. Because how do we touch up Halichula? It means Halichula Kasher Umra. Take it to her like she said. That's what we're going to touch it up, right? Dibbe Rebbe, so that's Rebbe's Shita. In other words, Rebbe is the one, let's just get it clear. Rebbe is the one that says you have to be Oikaret with an explicit expression. Rav Nosson, no, wait a second. Rav Nosson says, no. Some of those cases, Halichula, Tnehula, and Rotzel Haxa Yaxer, those are Lashons of Halacha. So when he says those languages, he's changing the Shliach from Kabbalah to Halacha, and he could change his mind. But if he says, Zachla his Kabbalah, then of course, Rotzel Haxa Lo Yaxer, because he's maintaining the Shliach's Kabbalah that she had established. Rabbi, I'm Mekulam Lo Yaxer. Rabbi says, you could, in all the four cases, he cannot retract, because it's only Achi Yomalai. You have to speak out of the famish. Okay. So this is the machlokas. So all we've done on this page is we've established the machlokas of Nosson and Rebbe. Rebbe holds you have to explicitly say it. Rebbe Nosson holds no. So now we're just going to match it in, right? Now, Vikasha al the Rebbe. We had a question. Holech midiburi? Take it to her. Could be understood to mean take it on the basis of my directive, not on the basis of my wife's directive. So even the phrase holich law could mean that I want it to be holacha. Imrach lahaksa lo yaxer? So why is he saying that? The Gemara is kind of like asking a question. Like, does that make sense? Maybe holich means not the way I said it. Maybe holich means Take it to the way I want it. The kasha al Rav Nosson, you can ask the same kasha al Rav Nosson the other way. Hoylech mi dibura? Maybe it could be understand. Take it to her the way she said it, the basis of her directive. How do you know that it shouldn't be Kabbalah?
You could explain it both ways.
So we're trying to figure out what are they thinking. That's basically what we're asking. What's all the answer? So the Gemara says what? There's a lot of English here. I don't know what it's all saying here. Let me speak the English out over here because there's a lot of paragraphs here. In short, since take it to her is an inconclusive statement that can be interpreted either way, what brought each Tana to choose their specific opinion? It seems reasonable to suggest Rabbi and Rav Nosson followed the respective opinions of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. That's the point here. We're trying to explain how those Tanaim hold like these Tanaim. Rebbe holds like Reb Yossi. You don't have to specify your intention regarding the divorce if they can be deduced from a previous conversation. So since the emissary said that he had been appointed by the agent to accept the get, and the husband gave the get without clearly contradicting the agent, we infer that he intends for divorce to take place in effect with accordance with his original declaration. So it's immediate. Reb Nosson, on the other hand, holds like Reb Yehuda of our Mishnah, that your intention regarding divorce may not be deduced from a previous conversation. Although the emissary presented himself as the wife's agent, since the husband did not explicitly assent to that stipulation, but reacted inconclusively, we cannot assume he intends for the divorce to take place immediately. Therefore, he may retract until the get gets his wife. So it comes out that Rabbi Yossi and that Rebbe and Rabbi Nosson are arguing in the machlokes of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Is this indeed correct? That's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara's trying to make a suggestion. So Rav Huna Amar, so he says, no, it's not conclusive. Nasa shlucho ushlucho. That he becomes, in other words, it's not clear. Could be that it's his shliach. It could be it's her shliach. We don't know. And therefore we have to go luchumra both ways. Luchumra both ways means that if, let's suppose, the Mekadesh, let's say he doesn't have any children, and he dies before the shliach ends up reaching the woman with the kesef kedushin. So we have to be machmer, and we have to say that she might have been mekudeshes, and therefore she's chayav to do chalitza, but she can't do yibum because it may not have been a good kedushin. So that's an example of a chumrah, that shlucho and shlucha. Isamar kulhen disninon shlucho ushlucho. Whenever it says that, then the rule is megurashas ain't megurashas, that we don't know. We adopt the stringencies. Okay. I'm going to stop here. Okay.
Square.
Kol tov, rabbi say, have a good tovah.